old school. So I've got a piece of paper. Yeah. I only use my watch for the time. Praise God. My name, thank you for asking. My name is Innocent. Am I married? Yes, I am married to Petronella, and we've got two children, Prophecy and Promise. I've been a member of this church for coming to a year and a half now, and I really feel part and parcel of this church. I always remember the first time I came here, a big hand came as I was walking through the doors. A big hand came over my shoulders and said, "Welcome." And I didn't know who that person was that time until I came into the church. Then as we were worshiping, I actually discovered that was the senior pastor of the church at that time. That touched me so much. And I've been here since, and my children says, "This is our home. We're going to stay here." I feel like we had a very powerful time last week, even the week before when Alicia on Mother's Day. And I do feel like I'm just going to prepare you for what happened last week in hindsight and prepare you again for what's going to happen next week. So for my session, it's going to be more like a teaching. I want you to sit there and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. I had a friend called Eddie. He went to England and he was working for this company. They gave him a motorped, which only, I think the speed limit on a motorped is about 30 miles an hour. So they don't allow a motorped on the motorway, the big motorway. But he didn't know that because he was just coming from Africa. And he was bored over the weekend. The family was still back home in Africa. So he said, "I'm going to go for a drive." So he took his motorped and went on the M4, the motorway, going towards Wales there. And he went all the way to Bristol. Then he had a good time. Then he went back on his motorway, on his motorbed, coming back home to Swindon, where he lived. Unfortunately, he was stopped by the police. The police said, "Do you know that you are not allowed on the motorway with your motorbed?" And he says, "No, I don't know. Sorry, I didn't know that." So they said, "We'll escort you to the next exit, and you find your way home from there." So they escorted him off the motorway, the next exit. They said, "Now find your way. Don't come on the motorway." So he went there. He looked around the place. He didn't know that place. He couldn't figure out how to go home. The only way he knew going back home was through the motorway, because that's the only road he knew. So he went back on the motorway with his motorbed again. And this time he was stopped again by another police car. Same thing happened, escorted him off the motorway. Then he said, what shall I do now? He had just got his first paycheck. So he said, "I decided to look and buy a car." So he looked in, he went and bought a newspaper, a local newspaper, and phoned somebody. And he went in and bought a car. And unfortunately for him, he left his motorbed by an industrial site, where people were actually seeing what he's doing from inside through the cameras. So he left his motorbed, went to get his car, then came now to get the motorbed. And people saw him trying to really tackle this motorbed, put it in his boot, and they thought it was somebody else trying to steal a motorbed. So they phoned the police from inside. And the police came around again. And they said, "Is this your motorbed?" And he didn't have the papers there. It was on a Sunday. So they had to say to him, "You leave the motorbed here. Come back, get it on Monday when you've got your papers." What am I saying about the Holy Spirit? We are talking about the helper. Some of us, we've been used so much to just the motorway route that we, if we are put in any other environment, we get lost a bit. And some of us have been given a motorbed, but no one has explained to us the rules around using a motorbed. The subject of the Holy Spirit is so controversial in some ways. A lot of churches have split because of the issue of the Holy Spirit. A lot of churches no longer teach the Holy Spirit because it brings a lot of misunderstanding within the church. But when you look into Scripture, Jesus said, "It's better that I go away so that you receive this Holy Spirit." So the person who's supposed to make things better for us, we are shunning him away because we are bringing more confusion by allowing him in. And I want to thank God for the leadership of this church that they've introduced this topic, the Holy Spirit. And I want to just talk, as I say, we'll talk casually. And some of the things that I'll mention, you already know them. But we want to come down a bit and say, what does Scripture say about the Holy Spirit? The main scripture we're going to use is Acts chapter 19. I'm going to give a hard time to our guy who is operating the PowerPoint, because I'm going to be skipping some PowerPoint slides and going to, so keep up with me. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 2. Paul, having passed through the upper course, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit." We are living in the age of the Spirit, and yet the church doesn't know or understand the work of the Spirit. We have yet great testimonies come through people who have yet experience with this Holy Spirit. And yet also we have yet loads of controversies through the issue of the Holy Spirit. Was it a Pentecost only experience? Is it only an issue about speaking in tongues? And we have used the tongues to judge each other. If I speak in tongues, I feel I'm a better Christian than you. And if I go around and start praying and talk to you in tongues, you also feel inferior because you think that's a great man. He's speaking in tongues. So it has brought loads of issues in church, and we start judging each other. And the idea of the Holy Spirit itself, or the idea of the Holy Ghost, brings a bit of an uneasiness in a lot of people. The idea of having a spirit coming on you or having a spirit dwelling in you is quite foreign to a lot of us. Maybe us Africans, it's a bit easier. We grow up in superstitious communities where we know about spirits more than we know about anything else. So when we come to God, we know what it means, the replacement, that, oh, the evil spirit that my uncle can send to me so that I get killed can be removed and I have a better spirit, the Holy Spirit from God. To the Western world, the Holy Spirit, as I said, brings a bit of uneasiness. When they said we were going to learn about the Helper, I think most of us, we had our minds whizzing right round. What do they want us to do now? Are they going to be blowing us and we falling down? Are they going to be blowing through the microphone and everyone is going to be falling all over? Are they pushing people? You know, a lot of things come through your mind. And yet Jesus said, if I go, this Helper will come. And he will stay with you. He will be in you. He will be with you forever. And we are shutting him away because of what we have seen, what we have heard, our backgrounds. In some churches, they said he's too much confusion. Don't talk about him at all. In some churches, they've gone the other extreme way. We need him. Then we go to the dramas and all sorts of things. So it brought loads of confusion to a lot of people. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the Synoptic Gospels, they all focus and emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit. Of all the four, including John, John is not the synoptic, is not synoptic gospel. The synoptic gospels are Mark, Luke, and Matthew. synoptic because they talk of the same things. They are similar in the way they bring things. And those three, the three that I've mentioned, they focus on the life of Jesus, mainly his last year of ministry, which was his third year of ministry. But when you look at John, he covers a little bit of more stories. He tells us about the wedding at Cana, which was things that happened in the early ministry of Jesus. He tells about the woman of Samaria. He tells us about Nicodemus. He tells us about the blind man who was born blind but was healed by Christ. And John goes on to explain a lot more about the conversations that Jesus did with his disciples. That's why we have John 14, John 15, John 16, where he's explaining a lot about the Comforter, about the Holy Spirit, about the Helper. But all the four of them, they agree on the four basics of our faith. As a Christian, I believe that Jesus died. I believe that he was buried. And I believe he was raised from the dead. That's the basis of my faith. For me to be called a believer, if Jesus didn't die, I wouldn't be where I am. If he wasn't buried, we wouldn't be talking about what we are talking now. If he didn't rise from the dead, then it would be just like anyone else that we are talking about who came, lived, and died. But he rose from the dead. But the other thing that the Gospels also mention is the issue of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, verse 8 says, I baptize you with water. That's John the Baptist. But he, that's Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3, verse 16, same thing. Matthew 3, verse 11, same thing. And John, we hear him saying as well, I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. From John, we get a bit of glimpse of the work of the Holy Spirit already. He comes down and remained on Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used to come at intervals. Would come to the prophets, they speak the prophetic word. Come to the whoever, the priest or anyone, any leader, God give them a word and they speak the word of God. But the Holy Spirit, when he came on Jesus, the Bible says he remained on him, which is the same thing that Jesus said about us, that when he comes, he will dwell with us and he will be with us forever. The other thing that I just need to mention, when we talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want us to understand that the gift is the Holy Spirit. When we say he gives gifts, they are gifts of the Spirit. They are ministries given by the Spirit. But the gift that God gave us, that gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift itself is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because once you have him, you've got everything else that comes with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift from God. Let's talk briefly about the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm coming, as I said, I'll be making it very basic. When you get saved, somebody's coming here preaching the word of God. There's a burning inside you. There's an uneasiness inside you that tells you that you need this man. You need this Jesus. You can't live your life by yourself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Before you get saved, the Holy Spirit is already at work in you. He convicts you of your life. He convicts you of the sinful life that you are leading, that you need to change. So the time you come and say, Jesus, come into my heart, the Holy Spirit has already done some work. So the Holy Spirit, number one, is involved in salvation. You cannot have the Holy Spirit before you are saved. He comes in and prompts you and even persuade you to try and get you to get saved. Come on, you need him. You've tried everything by yourself. It's not working. You need him. You know, the life you have, the misery, you can't sleep, you are crying all night, the things that you are facing in your life, you need him. He is here to help you. And the moment you open up your mind, your heart to him, he comes in. So we have the Holy Spirit at salvation. Then we have the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. In the life, day-to-day work of the believer, day-to-day walk of the believer. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because they neither see him nor know him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He says, I will give you another. The Greek word is allos. I'll give you another of the same nature as me. Jesus this time had just told his disciples that I'm going to be going away. And they are getting worried. They were used to walking around with Jesus. If they felt discouraged, Jesus was there to encourage them. If they needed food, Jesus was there to multiply food for them. If they needed prophecy, Jesus was there to prophesy into their lives. So they were getting worried a bit. What's going to happen if he goes away? And Jesus said, I'll give you another of the same kind as me. So I'll give you the comforter, the helper. Somebody is coming who is similar to me. That's comforting. And that Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he will be with us. So the same things that happened when Jesus was here on earth can happen because we've got the Holy Spirit now in us. Why did Jesus say it was better for him to go away? Because when he came in his human form, he was a bit limited, Jesus. He couldn't be everywhere. He couldn't be in two places at one go. At one time they called him and said, come and heal Jairus' daughter. As he was walking there, they said, no, don't bother him anymore. He's late. He should have come a bit earlier. The daughter is dead. He couldn't be in two places in one go. But then he says, when I go away, this helper will live in you. So you don't need to wait for time because he's already in you. So when we have the sick people, we don't have to go and say, Jesus, can you come, please? When are you coming to heal them? He is in us. And people get healed. People get delivered. People get their miracles. People get encouraged. Why? Because he's already in us. The word helper or advocate, a lot of versions say it differently. If you read the English Standard Version, it uses the word helper. Jesus said, I'll send you a helper. The NIV says advocate. The Message Bible says friend. The King James says comforter. Revised Standard Version says counselor. And I like the Amplified because it brings all those words in one go. So the Amplified says he's the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to describe that word in John 14. So why so many words to describe this helper? Because the New Testament was written in Greek, they had this word called parakletos, which means calling somebody to stand by your side. But that word, you couldn't just give it one meaning. It meant it had a lot of broad interpretation or a lot of broad meaning. That's why we have all these words. And to the Greeks, I'm told, they formulated mental images when they were describing certain words. So the word helper to them, it brought a mental picture. One of the pictures they had was kindling a flame or burning, blowing a flame to come through. I'll give you an example from my from our rural areas. We used to light up fire with firewood. We didn't have electricity. So in the morning, it was a bit difficult trying to get the fire running. But at times the fire would go, and if no one was attending to the fire, the embers would start going gray and going dead. So you needed somebody to come again with some more big firewood, but you also bring a bit of little firewood to try and make sure you light it up again. So the image that they had about the helper was somebody blowing the embers to bring them to light again. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When I get saved, I face discouraging situations. And at times I'm feeling, I can't do it anymore, God. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes and says, Innocent, you can make it. Just continue. You can make it. Don't go away. Stay strong. You can make it. So it's like somebody blowing, bringing the fire back in my life. The second image was calling forth comfort. You know, in the night, we didn't have lights. So at times you are worried when when you're in the next room. You just want the comfort from your father. If you hear your father's voice says, I'm here, you're all right, then I would feel happier if I was this child. So that's the Holy Spirit again. We face dark situations in our lives. As we move day to day, there are things that are so dark, you can't even see beyond tomorrow. You can't even see beyond the hour, the next hour. Why? Things are so gloom. But at times you just hear a voice coming in the darkness saying, I am with you, my son. Just stay strong. I am with you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It was like the physician, he maybe binding a wound. It was like a major stabilizing his troops who are about to go to war and they are afraid when they are facing a giant of an army. It was like an advocate who is coming, somebody is in the court of law, but he's saying, I can stand beside you. I can stand with you. I can defend you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the Holy Spirit involved in our salvation, in our day-to-day walk. The other thing that I also, I'll be calling the musicians in a short while. The other thing that I also discovered about the Holy Spirit is that though he comes in to do these things that I've mentioned, he tends to do those more in our early infants as Christians. When I get saved, I need somebody to stand with me because I don't know a lot of things. He comes and stands with me. I don't know whether he comes and blows up my fire, go to church, meet with this person. Oh, I'm wounded. That guy did this, he said these words to me. He did this to me. But he comes and starts binding those wounds. You start feeling healing in your side. So he comes and walks with you through the process. And the last item that the Holy Spirit does is what Pastor Sean was speaking about, which we'll be hearing next week. The stirring up, the heavens open. There is a time that the Holy Spirit comes and stirs up things in your life to empower you to minister, to empower you to witness. So most of the time it's the Holy Spirit doing things for you. I need a helper. I need somebody to stand by me. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to blow the fire that's blowing out of me. I need somebody to explain this. I need somebody to give me understanding. But he also comes and empower you so that it's no longer just about you. You are also going out there and preach the gospel in power. That's what we see in the book of Acts when Jesus said to them, remain he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then what will happen? You will be witnesses for me unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So there is empowering for ministry, for walking more in the supernatural, for walking more in the dynamic power of God. But there are no demarcations, if I can explain this. You don't get saved, then we say, okay, walk with God first. After walking with God, then we'll come and say, God, empower you. I've seen people getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit on that day, and they start walking with God. The problem at times with theology, we put a bit of theology, a lot of theology, because we want this to happen first, then you have to do this, brother, and then that way it has to happen. That Steve was telling me, he spoke in tongues before he knew what tongues were. He was praying in his room. He says, I thought I was getting mad. That's what he said. I didn't know what it was. I just started speaking in some strange, strange language. We said, that's the Holy Spirit, brother. If it was us, we'd say, no, don't. You're too early. You're too early for the Holy Spirit. You need to walk. So there are no lines of demarcation. God, you can't put him in a box to say this is how you work. God jumps out of that box and he does miracles for a lot of people. So Pentecost, they receive the Holy Spirit. I'm just rushing Acts chapter 2. And he says, this promise that you have seen, you receiving the Holy Spirit, the promise is not just for you. He says, it is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That includes me. If you read again in Samaria, the Bible says they were preaching there, Philip, and there was a guy who was a sorcerer called Simon. He saw that the Holy Spirit, the people received the Holy Spirit through the laying hands, or laying on of hands by Philip. And he wanted to pay some money and say, can I have a bit of that power? Because the Bible says he saw that they received the Holy Spirit by the praying or by the laying on of hands by Philip. Meaning there was something he saw. The empowering has some evidence. There is things that happen in your life when you get that empowering, that stirring, that experience. If you read through the book of Acts, most of the times people spoke in tongues. Most of the times people prophesied. Most of the times people praised God. Most of the times they started preaching with supernatural boldness. They started testifying with supernatural boldness. Why? They've had an experience of a stirring. Once you have had an experience, no one can take it away from you. I'll have the band come back as we want to finish. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is involved in your salvation. The Holy Spirit walks with you all the way. And you need to start relating with him. The good thing about the Holy Spirit, he doesn't speak much about himself. The Bible says when he comes, he glorifies Jesus. That's why when we talk, most of the time, we don't say, our Holy Spirit has done this. We say, Jesus has done this. Why? The Holy Spirit doesn't take the glory. He gives the glory all back to Christ. My challenge to you, when you go home, when you go wherever you go, start just saying to the Holy Spirit, I want to have an experience with you. Speak to my life. At times he speaks through the word. Some verses will jump out of the Bible and speak to you. Sometimes someone will come and speak to you the word that you really need. At times he comes in a supernatural way and empowers you and fills you and you speak in other tongues. I want you to go home in your closet as you prepare either for next week, but don't wait for the event. Don't wait for the occasion. God is, the Holy Spirit is in you. He moves with you and is ready to do anything for you at any time as long as you are willing. Shall we rise on our feet before we sing this song? I just want to give an opportunity. That's the only prayer we're going to do this morning. If you are here, you don't know Jesus. As I was speaking here, you've been to churches, but you have never come to a point where you are saying, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Already as I speak, maybe he's prompting in your heart. He's saying to you, you need him. You need him. And if you are here, you can start having the experience that we've been talking about today. The experience of the Holy Spirit. You can start having that experience from today going on forward. If you are here, you want to receive Jesus. I don't want to leave this place without praying for you. Just raise your hand where you are, and I'm going to acknowledge that hand and pray for you. If we are all saved, we will praise God all the same. Anyone here wants to receive Jesus? Who are saying, please do pray for me before we leave this place. Praise God. Praise God. We thank God. Father, we thank you. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray, my God, that we have testimonies throughout this week. I want to pray for Holy Ghost encounters in people's lives. When they go home, when they are waking, I want to pray, Father, that you may give them enlightenment. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for miracles. I pray for breakthroughs. I pray for speaking in tongues. I pray for prophecies. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for counsel. I pray for strength. I pray for comfort. I pray for help in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.